A reading from Matthew 18:12-14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the 1 sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish.
We've been talking a lot about Jesus, his disciples, and his healing ministry. And then we move into his teaching ministry. And here, this is more or less a parable, isn't it? I mean, or it's certainly a comparison.
Right.
And what struck me here is how psychologically acute Jesus is about human motivation. Because there's almost nobody that possesses many things but loses one part of that, the 1 out of 100. They're not going to search endlessly for that one to claim it back.
Yeah, even in his image here of a shepherd, when a shepherd took on the sheep, his goal was to get, 80% back. Because he knew along the way in shepherding sheep, there's some that you're going to lose. Because of sickness, because of wild animals, you may even have to eat one along the way to make sure that you're cared for. And so when a shepherd who was a hireling was signed on to take care of somebody's sheep, he was only signing on to bring 80% back. And so there would be an assumption that you would lose some along the way. So what Jesus is even saying is a little bit countercultural to what they would have understood. He's, again, you've used the word hyperbole before, but he's making a statement about how radical the Father's love is. That the Father isn't sitting around patting all of his sheep in delight. He's concerned about the one who's wandered off and is not in relationship with him. And so Jesus is giving this bold declaration of how much the Father loves.
How does that, shepherds and sheep, that people always have, they're talking about the agrarian ministry, but Jesus also was in cities, of course, but this would have been very familiar to the people then. But we church people oftentimes focus pretty much exclusively on those that are already here, the 99, and the one, which is actually the majority, which are outside the walls of a particular church, that we don't see that, and we don't have that amazing love, the amazing grace that God has of going and searching out the one, bringing them back.
There's this thing that happens to us in community, and we become family, we become connected, and our concerns become with those who are in the family. You see it in churches all the time. Well over 90% of our budget is given towards those inside the family. Most of our programs are given that way. Most of our thinking. Most people's frustration with the pastor is he's not doing what they want him to do for their benefit. And the challenge of Jesus is if we're going to walk as the Father in his model of doing what the Father does, will we take a perspective that looks outward and thinks very deeply and has a concern for those sheep who are outside of the fold, who are lost, and who aren't experiencing the benefits of being in the flock?
What helps a church actually do exactly what you're talking about and models what Jesus is telling us right here?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think part of it is leadership that shows the way. I think it's purposeful training to help people get out there, finding spaces. A lot of it is just an emphasis of saying, we love one another here. We're delighted to be together. This is a great place to be, but let's never become consumed inward. Let's keep our eyes outward while we're enjoying all these benefits so that others can come in. I've often said that the church is the one institution that exists primarily for its not yet members, and that makes people angry. But it's true. If you're really going to read the Bible and follow what Jesus says, we do exist for our not yet members.